From NPR News, this is Weekend Edition. I'm Leanne Hansen. In Beijing today, the Chinese government revealed that severe acute respiratory syndrome, or SARS, is far more widespread in the country than had previously been acknowledged. The health ministry admitted that 79 people in China have died of SARS, and more than 1,800 people have contracted the disease. Soon after that announcement, the government said that the health minister and the mayor of Beijing had been fired from their party posts. Today's announcements in Beijing follow a week in which scientists around the world made rapid strides in understanding what causes SARS and how it spreads. But in the areas hardest hit, mainland China and Hong Kong and Canada, efforts to contain it have not yet proved successful. NPR Beijing correspondent Rob Gifford will join us in a few minutes. First, to NPR Health and Science correspondent Richard Knox. Hello, Richard.
Good morning, Leanne.
Richard, scientists say that they're sure SARS is caused by a virus that belongs to the same family as common cold viruses. Does that say anything about how the epidemic started or where it might be headed?
Eventually it will. I think that's a very important step that they were able to identify the virus that causes SARS and with really totally unprecedented speed. It takes four pieces of evidence, really, to prove that a particular bug causes a particular disease. They've got to grow it from the tissues of patients who have the disease and not from people who don't. They've got to purify it in the test tube and grow it. They've got to infect animals with it and show that the animals get the same symptoms. And then they have to get the same virus out from the sick animals. And scientists around the world collaborated and marched through these four steps in just 3 weeks, which is phenomenal. And then other scientists, or sometimes the same scientists, decoded the new virus's entire genetic code and showed that it's in a family called coronaviruses, which, as you say, in humans causes only mild colds. The genetic analysis shows that SARS is more closely related to animal coronaviruses than to human coronaviruses, and now the search is on to see what animal or animals it came from. The best guess is it went from birds to pigs to humans, and this is important to understand because it will tell us a lot eventually about the future threat from SARS, but we're not there yet.
Will doctors, however, be able to test for it and quickly tell who has it and who doesn't?
They're working on that, and it's encouraging. Already there are two kinds of tests that are being distributed shortly by the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention to about 100 labs around the country. And a German company last week announced that it would make its genetic test available free. But that doesn't mean that doctors can test every patient now and say on the spot, you know, you've got SARS or you don't have SARS.
Explain something that happened last week. Thursday, the Centers for Disease Control lowered the number of actual cases from 208 to 35. Why? Why such a drastic change?
This is basically an accounting change. The U.S. had been deliberately expansive, I guess you'd say, in the way they count SARS because they didn't want to miss anybody. But they didn't make any distinction, as the rest of the world has done, between suspected cases and probable cases. And the 35 cases that are now counted as probable includes only those who have people who have pneumonia or severe respiratory distress along with flu-like symptoms. The real importance of the change is that it really underscores how small a problem SARS has been in this country so far. And why should that be? Well, the answer is they don't really know.
Canada has had big problems with SARS, however. What's going on there?
Toronto in particular. Almost all the cases in Canada are concentrated there in the largest city, and it's in a very anxious state. This past week, a whole religious congregation of about 500 people was quarantined after about 30 of them got infected from one unfortunate man. He got SARS from just being in the same emergency room as a case, and he died from it. This morning, churchgoers in Toronto are being asked not to share communion chalices, not to hug or even shake hands. In fact, anybody with a sign of cold or flu is asked to stay home from church. This reflects the fear that SARS may no longer be contained. So far, about 7,000 people have been quarantined in Toronto, and so far the cases have had known connections to known cases. But if that begins to break out into people who have no obvious connection to known cases, then you couldn't rely on quarantine any longer.
So, Richard, how worried should people be about SARS?
In Toronto, the data so far show that each case of SARS has infected, on average, about five others. That doesn't make it the most contagious thing we know. Tuberculosis infects maybe 20 people with tuberculosis, infect maybe 20 others on average. If places like Toronto and Singapore can contain their SARS epidemics by isolating people who have it, quarantining those who've been exposed, then and that stops the chain of transmission, then that means we can probably prevent SARS from getting a permanent foothold in these populations. And that's going to be a very important question. We should know that in a few weeks. That still leaves the problem of China, because if SARS becomes what they call endemic there, which means permanently established in the population, then everybody else in the world will have to face the prospect that SARS could be repeatedly reintroduced, maybe on a seasonal basis like flu, and that would demand eternal vigilance around the world.
NPR's health and science correspondent, Richard Knox. Richard, thank you very much.
You're welcome, Leanne.